You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
So if you are a certain age, you may remember Halloween costumes that were basically like a plastic disposable tablecloth that you would slide on and tie behind your neck and your back and walk around like that, kind of like, you know, doing the things and ripping them as soon as you took like three steps. And then there would be the mask, which would be like a very brittle piece of plastic that you would put on your face with a strap on the back. And as soon as you put it on, you would, of course, break it. And then it had, like, most of them had these little slits for eyes to see through. And then this little slit for breathing that you're, like, trying to breathe. And so most kids would pass out, rip the thing on the costume, and then break the mask, and that would be the end of it. But that was the way it was if you were going to go around trick-or-treating, you know. It was like, and everybody's costumes were like that. High quality. That was like nothing but the best in the 80s. But one of the things I remember when I was at that point in my life, when I was a child, we had a costume. I had a Star Trek costume, and it was Spock. Star Trek Spock, and it was the same deal. I remember it had like the yellow belt and the shirt and all that, and then it had the mask and all that. And of course, again, it ripped. And it was so, it was really cool. One of the things about it, I should put my glasses on so I can see, is that when I was growing up with this Spock mask, my younger brother, John, now a couple weeks ago, my brother Nick was here. He is a twin, his twin brother, John. I was probably, I'm going to go, it was probably five, so I was probably like nine around this time. And I had this mask, and my brother, John, was terrified of this Spock mask. Now, just for context, especially if you're like, oh, I like the new Star Trek and all that stuff, this is what Spock, circa late 1980s, is supposed to look like. He looked like that, you know, okay. This is what the mask looked like. So, understandably, it'll be on the screen there too. Understandably so, it is rather terrifying. So I get that. But being a good older brother, I had to do everything I could to scare my brother to death with this mask. And I mean, it was stuff I remember distinctly. Like, this is great. He's been going to therapy ever since. But I remember distinctly taking the mask and you know, put it on and be like, you know, making the sound of you. And he would, it's not like, oh, you scared me. It was crying. I am scared. He possibly wet his pants. He never confirmed that. But like complete terror. And I remember chasing him around the house and chasing them into my closet where he couldn't go anywhere and just going, you know, like I'm all up on his face with my mask and like that. Got a picture for that? And I was like way up scaring him with the mask. And the crazy thing about it is that I would take the mask and be like, oh, okay. And then I go, and he'd go, I'd start to cry again. Like that is exactly like, and then I'd be like, it's just me. And he'd be like, oh. And I put it, and like he, it was awesome. It was so much power I had over my brother, 4 years younger than me. And I remember that distinctly. And yet the crazy thing is, no matter the fact that I was wearing the mask or would be like, hey, it's just me, like he knew it was me, but he still was scared out of his mind. I didn't even have to say anything. I'd just be like, and he would cry and scream. And even though he knew that I was the one under the mask, he was still afraid. He knew what was really under the surface, but he was still afraid of who we are, who I was. And I wonder, you know, how often do we as people wear masks to cover up or to try to be someone that we're not? And the thing is, everybody knows who you really are, but we wear masks because we want to try to cover it up. We want to get this, like, no, this is who I am. This is really who I am. I mean, that's creepy. And maybe it's better, like, I don't know, which is creepier? I don't know, right? Ah, they're both scary. But we wear masks to cover up and try to be someone that we're not. And the thing is, when you're wearing a mask, it covers up who you are underneath. And as we'll see in a little bit, it kind of keeps us from, well, frankly, from being real with ourselves and real with others. And that has some side effects, some consequences. And so this morning, we are in this series called What is MC3 City? And what is MC3 City is a very good question. That's the whole point of what we're doing for September and October. And the idea is this series, MC3 City, which isn't a word, is, as Kurt pulled it off, what is MC3 City? Like, yeah, you got it. It's the idea of what is that? Well, that's a good question. What is MC3 City? It is who we are as a church. These are our core values. These are the things that we kind of use as like the guidelines, the guardrails for who we are and for what we do. And I forgot to bring the little thing out. But we talked the very first week about our about the C3 process. And this is what guides us. This is kind of the road. This is these three things: community, congregation, and caring. And you can listen to that at mc3church.org the very first week, what is biblically. But this is kind of the road, and our core values are like the guardrails. They're kind of what keeps us on tap. Not every core value is going to apply in every situation, but they kind of keep us focused a little bit. And this morning, just because these two are tied together and there's 10 core values and only 8 weeks for the series, we're combining two of them today. And this is the point that I want you to understand in our time together. And that is that MC3 City is authenticity and grace centricity. So like authenticity is a real word. The other ones are questionable. But the idea is MC3 City, like this is one of our core values, is authenticity. Another core value that we have is grace centricity. And these just simply say this: we are real and we accept you. We are real and we accept you. And so what that means is that we're going to remove our masks and be real about who we are. And we see beneath your mask and we accept you for what's behind your mask. You don't need to be someone else to be a part of MC3, to be a part of this body, to be here. Because we accept you. And we'll see that this is actually, you're ahead of me. This is actually part of who we are. And here's the official version of our core value. You know, we are real, that's the short version. But the official version says this: we are accepted by God where we are. Therefore, we value being real with each other about our failures, successes, and flaws. Because we are all flawed people. We are all broken people. And underneath your mask, you're just as much of a mess as I am. And so we're just being real. Let's get rid of the mask. Let's stop playing pretend. Let's stop fooling around and say, let's get real about who we are. Because when we're real about who we are, then we can actually move forward with fixing the problem. We can move forward with actually, you know, growing. And so that's the first official core value. The second one, with grace centricity, is this. It says Jesus' life was marked by forgiveness and acceptance. He gave us an unearned gift, as Kendra read Ephesians chapter 2, which we'll come back to in a little bit. He gave us an unearned gift. Likewise, we value extending grace to others, no matter who they are or what they've done. And grace says, you know what? You don't deserve this. And neither do I. And Jesus did it for me, and so I'm going to do it for you. And you might have hurt me, but that's okay. Because I'm going to extend that grace. And there might be something about you that's not perfect, and that's okay, because you know what? I'm not perfect either. And Jesus said, you know what? I know you're not perfect, Sean. And he said, but I'm going to give my life for you. And so we want to do that for others. And so again, those are the official versions. There is no slide for this, but the idea that we are real, and we accept you. And so I want to look at this passage where we see that there were some people trying to mask their problems. And it's in John chapter 8. If you have a paper Bible, we'll turn on the house lights here. So you can look at a paper Bible. If you've got YouVersion, just zing down. John is the fourth book of the New Testament, probably two-thirds of the way through your list of the YouVersion, the books there in the YouVersion. Which, by the way, YouVersion is a free Bible app that you can download everywhere, and it's pretty pretty incredible. But I want to talk about this passage in John chapter 8, and I'm going to kind of explain it and then talk about it, or explain it and then read it, explain it and read it, explain it and read it, go back and forth here. And I want to understand a few things about masks. As we look at this passage and look at the masks that were being worn, or frankly weren't being worn, well, you'll see in a second, because of the situation. So the first thing is that masks are covers for authenticity. And I think that's a pretty given, that's a pretty obvious thing. Like, I am in fact not a, you know, imaginary science fiction character from Stardate, whatever. I know you were like, oh, I thought that was actually him. But no, it's not true. That's just fiction. It's not actually real. And Spock is not a real person. And actually, the actor Leonard Nimoy, he passed away too. So he's not even around either. So as we know, like, a mask is a cover for authenticity. Like, that's why we wear them. We want to look like someone else. That's why Walmart, starting, I don't know, probably like the day after Christmas, putting Halloween stuff out, because, you know, everyone wants to dress up and be someone else. And it's probably not that extreme. It's usually after Easter that they put the Halloween stuff out. And to say you want to be someone that you're not, you want to cover up who you really are. And I think that's pretty obvious, but sometimes we just maybe need to be real with ourselves about that. Like, are you wearing a mask to cover up who you really are? And I would just be willing to bet that the answer is yes. And the reason I know that is because you're human. And at some time, at some point or other, or a certain environment, at a certain place, you don't want to be who you are. You would rather be someone else. And so you put on a mask to pretend. And we'll come back to some of those things that we pretend to be. But this starts in chapter 8 of John. This is John's story of Jesus interacting, of Jesus, of what he did as he lived his life. That's what the Gospel of John is. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the first four books of the New Testament. And they are written in what we call parallel. There are four different perspectives of the same story. So Matthew's perspective, and I don't have time to get into that, but Matthew was Jewish, so he talked very Jewish, talked about a lot of things Jewish people would go, you know, understand. Matthew, his perspective, Mark's perspective, Luke's perspective, and John's perspective. And so you'll see the same stories in these four books as you look at them kind of in parallel. And so this is John's perspective on a situation that actually is not recorded in the other Gospels. And it says, at dawn, he, meaning Jesus, appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. So just a little context, you know, the temple courts were a very public place. That's where all good Jewish people met to learn and to grow. That was what Jesus was Jewish. The religious leaders were Jewish. His disciples were Jewish. And so that's what they did. They gathered at the temple courts, and a rabbi, and we talked about that last week, a rabbi would teach them. And show them here, you know, this is the instruction. And so he's there. And it says, then at this point, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, these are the religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders, and they're the ones that are upset, as we'll see in a little bit. They're not happy with Jesus because he is wrecking their system. Because their system, as we'll also see, is built on rules and masks. And Jesus is messing that up. And so they're not happy about that. So these teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they brought in a woman caught in adultery. They brought in a woman caught in adultery. And the word, like, caught, this is written in Greek. That's the language they spoke. Like, it means not just like, oh, let's see, you were caught in adultery. No, they ripped her out of her lover's bed. Okay? So let's just be clear. We're not gonna make this all seem pretty and simple. No, she was ripped out of her lover's bed. And so they caught her in the act, as we'll see in a moment. Like, not just, like, she was an adulteress, and we know your story. No, she was in bed with someone that was not her husband, ripped out of bed. And then, as it says, they made her stand before the group. In all probability, because the Pharisees love to humiliate people anyway, in all probability, this woman is naked in front of this group. So, naked's about as unmasked as you can get. I think you would agree with that. And so here is this woman caught in adultery, ripped out of bed, placed in front of everyone. And so she has no room for a mask at this point. And I'm not encouraging, hey, go out and strip down in front of everybody and that will solve all of your relational issues. It probably won't. It might cause other issues. But the point here is that she was in a spot, she didn't have a choice, and she was unmasked. There was nothing that she could hide it from. There was nothing that she could hide. And so here she is in front of that. And so at this point, she is as real as it can be. And it's not even like, oh no, my clothes fell off. No, no, they knew what she was doing. They knew where they brought her from and put her in front of Jesus. And so this idea of, and I just kind of want to say it this way, sometimes removing all the removing the mask, removing everything, is when finally God begins to work. And again, I'm not saying go out and strip down naked in Monument Square in front of everyone. Like, there's other issues. But perhaps we are so worried about how we look that we, not that we can keep, God can do whatever he wants to do. But sometimes we're not willing to let God begin to change us. We're like, no, let's be fake. And sometimes we need to be stripped bare. And sometimes God does that to us, metaphorically speaking. Sometimes you lose everything. And then you realize, okay, all right, God, I understand that. And frankly, I've talked to someone in the last week sharing a story like that. Like, I was doing all right with the God thing. I was following Jesus, sort of. And then the bottom fell out. And then that's when I finally got real and finally realized what God meant to me, what Jesus did for me. So first of all, is that masks are covered for authenticity. It's pretty straightforward. The second thing is masks, and now we're getting a little trickier. Masks are excuses for superiority. They're excuses for superiority. When someone is wearing a mask, here's the deal, right? If I'm wearing a mask, of course I look perfect, perfect-ish. but if I'm wearing a mask because I'm perfect, I can start talking about you because you're imperfect. I'm perfect. Don't forget, I'm perfect. And they can start talking about other people. You can look down on people. In church world, this is often called legalism. This is part of it too. Like, I follow the rules better than you do, so therefore I'm a better person than you are. And when we wear our own masks, if we're not unwilling to be real, then we can be kind of arrogant, kind of superior. We can look down on people. We can become judgy because, well, I'm perfect, as you can tell by my finely crafted paper mask. And so this is how the passage goes on in verse 4. It says, they brought the woman in front of them and then said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman," and here's that phrase, "was caught in the act of adultery." Again, ripped out of bed. And so here's where they're starting to be superior. Because they're like, we're the religious leaders. We're perfect. We do everything right. God loves us more than anyone else. And especially you, Jesus, which, by the way, God's son, whatever, Jesus. And so they were trying to be superior, and they said, well, Jesus, in the law, Moses commands us to stone such women. And it is true. There is an Old Testament, an Old Covenant law that says if someone is caught in adultery, they are to be stoned to death. They are not to be smoking weed, but to actually beat them with rocks until they die, just to clarify what's going on here. And they said to Jesus, so now what do you say? And so these guys, and it goes on, says they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. And so these guys, these Pharisees, these religious leaders, these teachers of the law, they were wearing a mask. And because their mask was fake, they could judge other people. And so, again, why are we talking about this idea of taking off our masks? Because if we want to be real, if we want to see God work in our hearts, we want to see God work in other people's hearts, we need to stop wearing the masks. Because when we're wearing masks, we're like, oh, did you see my Instagram photo the other day? I am so perfect. Oh, you petty people and your miserable lives. Oh, you didn't eat that. Hashtag blessed. I'm so amazing. I'm wonderful. Follow me. Pound that subscribe button. Come on. Like, this whole fake thing. And then there's this app called Be Real, right? And now it's starting to get used by old people like me, and so it's not cool anymore. But Be Real, my daughters and I, we've been using this for about a year now, I guess. And it's just randomly during the day, you have to take a picture of what is happening. It tells you when. And all across the world, people are taking a picture at the same time. And you have to be real because you can't put on the fake anymore. And frankly, I'm like, I got 2 minutes. How can I fake it? That's, you have a 2 minute countdown so that there is no chance to fake it. And I'm like, man. And then one day I remember I had all these books open. I looked so studious. I was looking for the root of a Greek word. And I'm not trying to sound fancy, but I really was. And I'm like, dang it. The Be Real thing was just after I put the books away. Well, my daughters need to know I'm studious. So I pulled all the books back out. 10, 9, 8, click. Hey, I'm in. I am in. But that idea of trying to look perfect gives us some of this kind of weird, sinful human thing where I'm like, oh, because I'm perfect because of my mask, I can look down on you. and I can judge you, and I can say that you are messed up, and you've got problems, and you've got issues, but I have it all together because my mask is incredible. And that's what these religious leaders were doing. They're like, we're superior, we're better than this woman. Huh, she was this sinner. And of course, if you take any time to read through the Gospels, read the stories of Jesus' interaction with the religious leaders, you find real quick that, oh, they are just as sinful and just as messed up, if not more so. Because again, these guys were wearing masks. And when you're wearing a mask, it's hard to get through. When you're willing to be real and say, yeah, this is my problem. I mean, it's like going to a doctor. Like, you can't, like, hey, doctor, you know, can you give me some medicine because, I don't know, my throat is scratchy. And the doctor will, like, look at your throat. No, I just want medicine. I don't want you to look at my throat. And maybe there's a discovery. Like, I remember growing up, like, and I'll say it because I don't really like it now because of this, like, weird thing. But KFC, if I ate KFC chicken at around probably 1 o'clock in the morning, I would be throwing up KFC chicken. Like, anytime. The same thing with the really good, I don't like KFC as much, but the really good pan pizza with pepperoni, the personal pan pizzas. And I would get them like crazy because if you're my age, you know what book it was. And, dude, I would read the books and I would get my free personal pan pizza and then at 1 a.m. would throw it up. And I just figured, like, this is just life. Like, it's what you do. And it wasn't until I was, that was probably 15 years ago. Like, I'd been married for a while. I went on a mission trip to Nicaragua. And they gave us, we were there for 2 weeks. And I'm really off the subject. We were there for 2 weeks and we ate rice and beans. Like, that's what you eat. And then the last day they splurged and bought Papa John's for us. And guess what I was doing at 1 a.m. in the morning? And I went to my doctor. I'm like, there's something wrong with me. He's like, oh, you just have acid reflux. Gave me a pill. And I take that pill every day. And I have never had a problem since. I'm still not into KFC. But I did have a double down once. That was awesome. If you don't know what a double down is, Google it later and then be like, take the acid reflux meds and you are good to go. Anyway, but the point is, what is my point? I keep forgetting my point. My point is that if you go to the doctor and try to cover up the symptoms, they can't get to the real problem. And if you're wearing a mask, you can't get to the real issue. And if I just said, no, I just need something for my throat, my doctor would be like, no, your problem is much deeper. So, masks are covers for authenticity. Masks are excuses for superiority. And now here's this other core value. Masks are exposed by grace-centricity. And so here's the deal. Jesus is now going to offer grace to these guys, to these religious leaders who do not deserve it. Their whole point with ripping this woman out of bed, and again, it was wrong. Like, she's not, they were not like, oh, this is my husband. We've been married for 30 years. What are you doing? Yeah, I'm really old too. Like, no, that would be really, just no. But this was someone who was doing a wrong thing, so it was wrong. But then Jesus steps in and offers grace, not just to her, but to these religious leaders. And so the passage continues in the second part of verse 6. It says, but Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. We don't know what he was writing. Some people have guessed that maybe it's this, that. We don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you. But it says, when they kept on questioning him, so this woman is there. The law says she should be stoned. Come on, Jesus. What should we be doing here? We should kill her, right? When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And you're probably familiar with this passage, even if you've never been to church in your life before. He who is without sin casts the first stone. And that's what Jesus said. He's like offering grace. He's like, hey, you know what? You're right. The law does say that. So if you're sinless, go ahead. Go ahead and throw a stone at her. And it says again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And then it goes on and says, at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. So Jesus offers this grace and says, look, all right, you're right, the law does say that, but what if we just look at this woman, talking to the religious leaders, what if we look at this woman from her perspective? And let me be clear here. Can you imagine, again, if you've heard this story before, I've never really, until this week, just really imagine what she is experiencing. She is naked in front of this group, and they, as we see, have stones ready to kill her. Like, she's silent, you know, as the story reads it, but she's probably moaning, screaming, scared to death, weeping, bawling, because she is at this moment about to be dead. And Jesus says, hey, religious leaders, if if you've never sinned, then yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and do that. And so then Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. And so you have Jesus here extending grace. And it even caused these religious leaders, at least in this moment, to drop their masks and be like, "He's right. He's right. I'm not perfect either." And it's those moments where we admit our failures that God really begins to work. It's also those moments when we're willing to say to other people, "You know what? I don't care about your mask. I don't even care what's underneath your mask. Because I'm willing to accept you for who you are." And so this idea is just really, really powerful. Jesus sees through the mask and sees the men that are beneath it. Say, "You're just as human as her and just as sinful as her." So master, it covers for authenticity, excuses for superiority, exposed by grace centricity, so let's offer grace. And finally, they're confronted by honesty. And this is the one part, too, where people are like, "Oh, you know, don't cast the stone without sin." And then Jesus, when he accepted her, he didn't leave her there. And this is important to understand, because when it comes to removing our masks, when it comes to being real about ourselves and about others, if I care about you, I'm not just going to say, "Yeah, I accept you," but continue in that habit that is leading to your demise. I'm not going to say, "Oh, you know, it's not a problem that you're into hard drugs. I accept you." And that's, I accept you. But if I stop there, I'm like, "No, but there is a problem because you've got a family that needs you. You need to get rid of this habit." And our world, our culture would say, "Well, that's not very polite. That's not very friendly and accepting." At some point, we need to realize that love doesn't always feel good. Sometimes love says, "I'm going to do something for you that might not feel good to you, but that's okay because I love you." And that's what happens here. Jesus confronts the woman. He says, "Has no one condemned you?" And she says, "No one, sir." And then Jesus says, "Then neither do I condemn you." The Son of God, perfect. He never sinned. Never sinned at all. Completely followed the law. He says, "I don't condemn you." But it doesn't end there. He then says, "Go now and leave your life of sin." He tells her, "Stop. Stop the sin. Stop wearing this sin mask." And this, I think this is the NLT. Yeah, or sorry, this is the NIV. The NIV does this great with leaving your life of sin. It wasn't like, "Don't do this thing this one time." He's like, "Stop being a serial sleeper rounder. Stop being an adulterous woman." He says, "Stop. Leave this. Like, you have been changed. You have been offered new life now. So leave. Put this other stuff behind you. Because it's not helping you. This mask that you wear of, oh, I'm the loose lady, I'm the local prostitute." Like, he says, no, leave that. Because there's something better for you. And we actually talked about this in our series called Ampersand. And again, there's a slide in the announcement loop, assuming the computer doesn't crash. You can find that week where we talk about grace and truth and the tension between these two things. Because we know there are many church people over the years that have been like, "Oh, let me beat you with truth. And you better get right. And you better dress this way to come to church. You better act this way before you better get cleaned up before God can change you." Which is actually the exact opposite, because we are to be who we are and let God clean us up and change us, accept us where we are. And so grace and truth, it's a tension there, and we talked about that in that series. But that's the issue with masks. There's this woman here, and she's got her mask. It was a cover for her authenticity. We wear masks to cover who we really are, because we don't want people to know the fake us. We don't want people to know that we're not perfect. We don't want people to realize that we don't have it all together. They're excuses for superiority. When we wear a mask, then we can look down on other people because our mask is perfect, and clearly you are not. And therefore, I'm better than you. And that's just something you're going to have to deal with about how amazing I am. And it's wrong. And of course, that kind of attitude doesn't change anyone else's heart. Like, we can be like, "Oh, you all need to clean up and get perfect before you come to Jesus." And if that's the case, then no one's going to be able to do it, because we can't. We can't do this. We can't earn it. And we'll talk about that in a second. They're exposed by grace centricity. If we want to break through masks, if we want to be a church that cares for and accepts people, then we're going to have to go, "Yeah, you know what? You're not perfect. But you're welcome here. You're not perfect, but let's talk. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about what God did in my life. And masks are confronted by honesty. And sometimes we need to be real with you and be like, you're just wearing a mask. You're just faking it. Stop. Just put that behind you. Because there's so much for you in store if you just leave that. If you leave that behind you. So, MC3 City is authenticity and grace centricity. We are real, and we accept you. And we are not following our notes. Of course, one of the... I think this is a good answer, good question. Who typically wears masks on TV or in the movies? Superheroes, right. Superheroes wear masks. Why? Because they want to hide their identity, right, their secret identity. Who are they really? Who is Bruce Wayne? Who is Clark Kent? Superman? Clark Kent. But they want to hide their secret identity. And I think a lot of times we wear masks because we want to hide our secret identity. Because we know ourselves. We know the depths and the thoughts and the ideas and the things that we think and feel. The things that we do that we think no one else knows about. And so we want to hide this. And so the question is, what's your secret identity? And I want to tell you two things. I said masks cause some problems. Here are two things. There's many other issues. But there are two things when it comes to being real, when it comes to being authentic, when it comes to being accepting. There's two things that masks do. First thing is that masks keep people from coming to Jesus. Masks keep people from coming to Jesus. We need to be grace-centric. We need to be willing to say, you know what, I'm looking beyond who you are on the outside. I'm looking beyond your superficial mask. I'm looking beyond your failures or your mistakes or what part of the tracks you grew up on or what part of the tracks you live on or where in the tracks you're currently living right now. I don't know. But the idea is saying, it doesn't matter because I accept you. I care about you. And if we are at this spot where we're like, no, until you act this way, dress this way, do these certain things, then we can talk. Then we can relate. Then you're welcome in our doors. Then we've really missed it because we are then saying to people, you can't come to Jesus until you're perfect. And let me just be honest, right? Let's talk deep theology here. If you're perfect, you don't need Jesus. If you are actually perfect, you don't need Jesus. So if we're telling people, wait until you become perfect, then you can, we can talk about Jesus. Perfect people don't need Jesus, but unfortunately, there are no perfect people. We are all messed up sinners. We are all failures. And we have this idea that, oh no, I'm good. I don't need Jesus. I'm good. And we put this mask on like, oh no, I've got it okay. And behind the mask, we're broken. We're hurting. And when we take the mask off, then we can be like, no, God, can you change me? Can you change my heart, Jesus? And that's that passage that Kendra read here in Ephesians chapter 2. I love this. Paul writes this to the church he planted in Ephesus out in Asia. And the Apostle Paul says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, we are dead because of our sins. As Sophia said, I don't want to go to that bad place. That bad place is hell, separation from God. And we are on our way because of our sin. We were dead because of our sins. But God was so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. We can receive the life of Jesus simply not because of what we do, not because of our perfect appearance, not because of how we dress or our mask, but because of what Jesus did for us so that we can't take credit for it. And then he goes on a few verses later and says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. All you do is believe. You don't do, you believe. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. And so what I'm saying here is that we need to be real about where we are. Because if we're honest with ourselves, you probably realize that you're a miserable sinner. And I know that's not really great for your self-identity and all that. But it's the truth that we are sinners. We are broken. We are messed up. I stand before you as a broken, messed up person. We were playing, Would You Rather the other night with the boys. And one of the questions was, part of it was, would you rather know everyone's thoughts? And we came to the conclusion that absolutely not. Because people think awful things. Maybe you don't, but I think awful things because they're in my head and no one sees that. But those awful thoughts are a part of my failure, my sin. And so if I'm willing to be honest with myself, I can't fix myself. I can't get myself better. I can't change my heart. It's only what Jesus can do, and it's simply through believing, not doing. It's simply believing that Jesus died on the cross to take your sins. And as we said, you were buried with Him in death, and you were raised to new life. That's what Jesus did. And that's why if we're wearing masks, either ourselves or for others, we can't get through that because we're like, no, I'm perfect, I'm good. And until we're willing to admit that, until that moment, God can't change. Well, God can do whatever He wants, and maybe He'll break through your mask. But it's that moment that we realize, no, I can't do it on my own. We need to offer grace to people. The second thing, so masks keep people from coming to Jesus, and then masks keep people from growing in Jesus. And now maybe I'm talking to those of you that are followers of Jesus, Christ followers, Christians. We don't use that word around here a lot of times, not because it's a bad word, because sometimes people are like, oh, you're a Christian. Yeah, I'm from America too. I'm Christian. It's the decision to follow Jesus. So we say Christ followers. And the four people this morning, Christ followers, making the decision to follow Jesus. But masks keep followers of Jesus, keep people from growing in Jesus. We need to be authentic. And in Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Galatia. He planted this church. He was a missionary there. It's in Asia as well. He says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? He says, okay, what's the deal here? Am I really trying to please you? Am I really trying to go Instagram perfect? Am I really trying to make it so that you think that I have got it all together? And do I really try to pretend like we didn't have that huge fight into the park on the way into the building here, but as soon as we get out of the car, everything's fine because we're perfect? Like, is that who we are? He says, if that's what I'm trying to do, if I'm still trying to please people, then I would not be a servant of Christ. Like, those are some harsh words. Paul says, if my job is to make other people happy instead of making Jesus happy, that's essentially what you're doing. Like, if I'm trying to please people, then you're not pleasing Jesus. Because also, and we'll see this in a second, people, man, we're messed up. Like, you might be with some people and, oh, I got to be this way. You're with other people, oh, I got to be this way. I'm going to be this way with this person. And then you might even be with the same group of people, but if you add someone else into the mix, you're like, oh, no, now we're cool, yo. It's all good. No, it's not. And then, can we talk about the newest Doctor? Was it such a spoiler that it wasn't Tenet? And then, oops. And we talk about Doctor Who because you're a geek and you really care about it. Oh, yeah, I'm into that. Like, and we try to pretend to be all these different things. And Paul says, dude, if you're trying to do that, then you're worried more about pleasing people than pleasing Jesus. And I would say if you're a follower of Jesus and you're trying to look like you've got it all together, if you're trying to fit with what the crowd wants and whatever that crowd is, other people in your church, whether that's the people in your prime group, whatever that is, if you're just trying to be fake and please people, you're not actually following Jesus. So masks keep people from coming to Jesus. If we're not willing to say, no, I'm broken, I'm messed up, we're not going to get there. And masks keep people from growing in Jesus. If you're not willing to put aside your mask and be authentic, then there's really not much hope for, I don't say there's not hope, there's always hope for Jesus. He can do whatever He wants. But in our own lives, being honest and be like, yeah, I'm messed up. Guys, I'm sorry. This week was rough. I said this thing that I shouldn't have said. I did this thing that I shouldn't have done. And have the church come around you and be like, yeah, dude, I did the same thing last week. Like, even willing to say we're sorry. And the funny thing is people are like, oh, yeah, I know you did that. You're a jerk. Yeah, thanks for loving me anyway. Hey, grace centricity, we accept you. So my question is, what mask are you wearing? What mask are you wearing? What is your secret identity? And I've got some suggested masks. Spock is not one of them. Perhaps you are wearing the mask of perfection.
you're the Barbie. If you're a guy, I'd be like, no, I'm not wearing a Barbie mask. Okay, you're a Ken. Whatever. But this idea that you've got it all together. And when people look at you, oh, I've got it all together. Oh, I'm good. I'm perfect. Online, I'm perfect. In person, I'm perfect. Everything about me looks perfect. So much so that I won't go anywhere if I don't look perfect and be perfect and have everyone expect these great things from me. Trying to be perfect, the perfection mask. Maybe you want to be popular. You want to be the cool kid. If you're chuckling, you are clearly over the age of 30. You want to be the cool kid. You want to be the Ferris Bueller. Where everyone, save Ferris! And you just want to be popular. You want to be liked. And so you go along with the crowd. And I know you're like, no, that's what kids do. No, we do it as adults too. Because you want to be the person that everyone likes. You want to be the life of the party. You want to be the one that's invited to go everywhere. And so you put on this mask trying to be the popular person. Trying to be someone that you're not. And again, you're wearing these masks. It's keeping you from being honest with yourself and affecting just what God wants to do in you. Maybe you're the doer. You don't need anyone's help. Because can you fix it? Oh, yes, you can. You don't need anybody. You're a loner. I've got it all together. I've got it figured out. No, I'm fine, thank you. I don't need your help. I can do this. No, I don't need you to tell me how to help. Nope, I'm good. And we have this idea, and maybe it's like Bob the Barbie. I don't know, maybe these two are tied together. Let's put her hair on his head. Maybe it's this idea of I'm trying to be perfect, and I don't need anyone's help to do it. But this idea of doing, and some of us do that. I'm good. I've got it together. If there's a problem, I can fix it. I can fix my own issues. Thank you. I don't need anyone's help. I don't need a community of people around me, because I've got it. I'm good. Maybe you're the victim. Good grief. Everything is against you. Everything that happens to you. You're the one that's always the victim. You're the one that's always suffering. You're the one that's always got the problem. You're the one that always has the illness. You're the one that always has the issue that nobody else ever understands. And you're wearing this mask saying, no, I'm just the victim here. And unwilling to say, no, actually, I'm just a broken person. And I'm struggling with people caring about me. Like, let's be honest. That's what this is. Are you wearing the victim mask? And then finally, maybe you're the tough guy. You don't need anybody. You're the rebel. And you can decide if this is Jack Sparrow as the rebel or Johnny Depp. It's up to you, whichever you want to decide. But you're the rebel. You go against the crowd. That's your thing. Oh, no. Sorry. Nope, I'm good. Oh, you're going to do this? I'm going to do that because I'm a rebel. You say it's black, I'm going to say it's white. You say it's one, I'm going to say it's two. Like, just because this is who I am. And wearing this mask, again, keeps you from being real about who you are. And frankly, just keeps, I want to say, again, I understand, God breaks through our masks all the time. But sometimes it's easier if we take them off ourselves and say, no, I'm willing to be real. I'm willing to say this is who I am. And so maybe you're wearing one of these masks. Maybe you always have to look perfect. Maybe you want to be the life of the party. Maybe you don't need anyone's help. You'll just do it on your own. You've got it. Maybe you're the victim. Everything happens to you. Nobody understands. Maybe you're the rebel. You're just constantly pushing against the crowd just because that's who you are. And can I just ask all of us, let's take off the masks. And if you're a guest here, this is I'm glad you're here, absolutely. But let me just talk to the people that are not just guests today. we need to take off our masks. We need to stop pretending so that, one, we can allow God to work in our hearts, but also so that when people come in, we can say, you're welcome here no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. Because we would rather see Jesus change you as a broken, imperfect person the same way that he changed me as a broken, imperfect person. So let's take off our masks. I'm going to jump a couple slides to the point. Is that MC3City is authenticity and grace-centricity. We are real. We need to be real. And we accept you. And again, accepting you means you're welcome. This is your place. But it also means that we're not just going to go, it's okay, you can do whatever you want. You can live however you want. No, we want to see God change us. We want to see growth. But that's who we are. And so my encouragement, my challenge is to take off your mask. What is it that you're wearing, you're hiding behind, trying to be something that you're not? Let God change you and let us love you. And I mean all of you. To be able to say, yeah, I'm that way too. I'm just as broken and messed up too. But let me tell you about what Jesus did in my life. If that's something you're wondering about, you can certainly talk to me after we're done here. If you're wearing a mask and you're like, you know what, I just need to take it off and it's time to be done with that, talk to me, talk to someone, probably talk to one of the people, maybe not quite Sophia's ready, but one of the people that were baptized about that. Our first impressions team can direct you to people as well. Because it's time to stop playing pretend and be real about who we are and let God change our hearts from the inside out. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for what you did for us, knowing that we are broken, imperfect people. You knew that from the beginning and planned to send your Son to live a perfect life for us, to take our place, so that he would suffer the consequences of our sin, the consequences of our brokenness. And thank you that, as we read this morning, there's nothing we could do to earn it. There's nothing that we could do to take credit for this. It's simply believing. And I pray for those of us in this room that have been wearing masks, those of us watching, listening online, that have been wearing masks to hide their brokenness, God, help them to take that mask off and allow you to change them from within. And God, for those of us that are followers of Jesus that have been wearing masks and pretending to be something we're not, pretending to be perfect or whatever that looks like, and keeping us from actually growing closer to you, I pray that we would take off our masks as well. That we would be real and allow you to shape and change us to become more and more and more like Jesus each day. Thank you for the power of this morning and the celebration of those that have given their lives to follow you, and celebrating that this morning in baptism. Thanks for your great love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.